From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of February 2022. Happy birthday to my brother Larry. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the road today in Springfield at the State Fairgrounds for the weigh-in at the Illinois Beef Expo for the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale and at the Illinois Pork Producers annual event here in Springfield. We'll tell you a bit about those in a moment. We'll also take up today what's been happening with the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and discuss the markets, of course, that with Jackie Vakes at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You know, the Willag Farm Doc Spring Outlook is less than 2 weeks away now. You have just a bit of time to get your tickets. You can do that in two ways. Either go online to willag.org, get yourself registered. That's the quickest and easy way to do it. Or during business hours, you can call 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Our Spring Outlook, in conjunction with the Farm Doc team, the Agricultural Economist, will join us for the day, along with our panelists, including Jackie Vakes, who you'll hear in just a moment. We'll also have on hand with us Joe Jansen and Scott Irwin. They'll discuss the outlook that they think will happen this year for corn and soybeans. Gary Schnitke will be there to talk about the ARC PLC decision, crop insurance decisions, and the budget process. We'll take up what could be coming in farm policy out of Washington, D.C. with Nick Paulson. And Bruce Sherrick will join us from the TIAA Farmland Research Center on campus. That's part of the Farm Doc team to discuss the price of farmland and valuations going forward. Should be a great day. You can join us too. The Beef House Coffee and Roll to kick us off in the morning is included along with the lunch at the noon hour. Should be a fantastic day at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for the Spring Outlook. Register today at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. Well, I'm traveling today in Springfield, Illinois for the final day of the Illinois Pork Expo and the beginning of the Illinois Beef Expo. It starts tomorrow, but the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale check-in for some of the EPDs was happening this morning. I was there to watch the bulls go through a frame score along with a weight check and scrotal circumference check. All of those things are included in a power score that will help the online bidding that should take place tomorrow at 11 a.m. You can find all the details of that one online, by the way, at iptbullsale.com. Now, Jackie Vakes is here. She's from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri, to help us take a look at what happened in Chicago and in the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us. Can you tell me something about the fundamentals under this marketplace?
Well, when you look at the, you know, we've got the highest December new crop corn futures that we've seen since 2012. So you know that there's some really strong support here. And part of that is coming because the Brazilian domestic corn prices hit 8.25 a bushel. That's higher than their export market. So that would indicate that there's a good chance that they are out of the export market completely on corn. Ukraine, they still have 16 million metric tons to ship. Will they or can they? We don't know. You know, it depends on what goes on war-wise. Europe is their biggest buyer. And so yesterday we saw the Matif, which is the European corn futures, rally dramatically. And so all of that is indicating, Todd, on the corn market that the U.S. could possibly see record corn exports from March through May. Because exports this week were actually the highest of the year. They weren't as high as last year, but they were the highest of the year. And then if you look at the wheat market, which supports the corn market, we've got the wheat market very concerned about the Black Sea wheat exports out of Russia, and the USDA dropped the Kansas and the Oklahoma crop ratings again this week due to dry weather, you know. And so you look at beans. China bought some more beans again today, and they're actually talking about selling beans out of their reserves, Todd, because the supplies that they've been getting have fallen really short of what they needed, and that's mostly because that harvest in Brazil has been delayed. So that would say to me that there's a pretty good chance, you know, that they may be coming our way also for more beans. Average insurance price for the month, pretty interesting. Corn $5.88 as of right now, and beans at $14.32. So there's a lot going on in the marketplace and a lot of questions about weather yet. And I'll get into another situation that's going on in South America that is possibly helping support too.
Yeah, so tell me about some of the normal things we talk about as well. You did the exports. I want to know about money flow and support and resistance levels.
We'll start with support and resistance. On March 635, support 776, trendline resistance. May 636, 775. July 642 and 720. All three significantly up from last week. Beans 1410 and 1592 in March, May 1472 and 1677, and July 1467 and 1667. April gold up this week, 1892 support, 2112 is resistance. Dow Jones remained the same, 32,811 with resistance at 36,953. U.S. dollar, 95.60 support, 97.35 resistance. And Bitcoin, what a wild market. Now, last week, resistance was at 47,000. Well, today, February, 33,207 is support and 41,856 is resistance. I tell you, I'm beginning to think that Bitcoin, Todd, I used to always say the New York markets were like swimming with the sharks. You better make sure you cover your butt. Well, I think Bitcoin is probably like swimming with the worst shark you can possibly find. Managed money right now, we see the managed money actually reduced its short position in wheat. It went from 38,000 short to 25. Reduced their position, their long position in corn, from 351 down to 324. Increased their long position in beans from 158 up to 184. Increased their long position in soy meal from 66 up to 91, and reduced their soy oil long position to 77 from 79, so not a huge move there. But you can see that they're moving around. It looks to me like they're spreading is what they're doing, and there's spread unwinding going on, and we know that. I wanted to mention on the index traders, you know, they hedge inflation. This week on the CFTC report, they put in a new record of 537,978 long positions. The old record, which was put in back in 2010, was 503,937. New bean record, 257,336 compared to 210,231, and that was put in 2020. On wheat, they increased their long position to 188,074. But that their longest position they've ever had was 229,565. So I guess the question comes down to, Todd, is how much more will they work on increasing these positions, and when will they feel like they've really got inflation hedged? You know, that's the question none of us know the answer to. Wheat exports for this week running 16% behind compared to a year ago. They were 17 last week. We need 13.4 million bushels per week. Corn 11% behind compared to 13 last week. We need 49 million bushels. And beans 22% behind compared to 23 last week. We need 19.7. We had some very good export inspections this week, so that certainly helped us.
Well, helped, but I'm wondering whether the Chinese will be in the market through the end of the marketing year to make all of that up. 22% behind is a pretty good chunk.
Well, it is, but you know, that's something that it's amazing how fast. Like I said, we only need to average 19.7 million bushels a week. That's not a lot for beans. You know, corn 49 million bushels. Actually, the USDA was projecting we were going to end the year at 12% behind, so we're 11% behind right now. So you know, if we would continue to have strong export sales in the corn, we could probably even see them up corn export numbers. But beans, we can do it. There's no question about that. And if we continue to see that what's dragging down in Brazil And China has to actually come to us because we could do it pretty easily. It's pretty amazing sometimes how fast that can change.
I know USDA's Ag Forum is taking place this week. Can you tell me anything about some of the expectations of the data from that forum?
I can. And that's always, you know, something that gives us a kind of a guideline. So the average guess is for acreage for corn is 91.8 with a trend line yield of 179.2 and ending stocks of 1.62 billion. That's higher than where we're at right now. Beans, 89.2 million acres, 51.5 trend line yield with an ending stock of 320, right in the neighborhood of where we are. And wheat, 47.8 million, average 48.5 and 681 million. So really corn is the only one that appears to be affected at all.
Let's turn to South America now. Can you start with Brazil, please?
Over the weeks, we've been talking about this unknown pathogen that is causing the seed to rot in Mato Grosso. I've got a little more information on that. So this has been going on now for three consecutive growing seasons in the mid-northern regions of Mato Grosso. And it has really been a bad situation because it isn't apparent right away that this is what's happening. They open up the pods and there you go, you've got rotted seeds inside the pods. So they think this year it affected 6.17 million acres in Mato Grosso to varying degrees. And that resulted in a much lower soybean yield. And in some instances, as much as 40% of the soybean seed rotted in the pods. Can you imagine that? So, of course, the researchers are out there and they found fungus and they found bacteria, which, you know, they're considered opportunistic pathogens. You know, they usually come out when the environmental conditions are favorable. But for some reason, this anomaly just doesn't seem to fit the pattern here. And so they're thinking this may be a new species or a pathogen that mutated. And to that extent, the fungicide treatments aren't working anymore. So they're also saying that there could be a genetic connection that could make some of the common soybean varieties grown in the area more susceptible to disease. But what they found so far is the problem is more intense in the earliest planted soybeans. They haven't found a specific variety that seems to be more susceptible. And of course, they've not been able to identify the pathogen at all. So let's hope it doesn't come here. Let's just put it that way. You know, we don't need any issues like that.
And what did you find from Argentina this week?
Argentina, they're behind on the bean exports for their year compared to last year by about 1.5 million metric tons. Not a big surprise. They've had a lot of problems down there. One of their biggest problems right now is they've got wildfires. They burned up 2 million acres in northeastern Argentina. You know, they've been under severe drought for 2 years now, and they are nowhere near getting this blaze under control. They said there's 17 active fires at this point in time. And so, you know, it's a situation where this is not only affecting the flora and the fauna, it's also affecting the agriculture, the electrical grid, and they've had to evacuate a lot of small family farms. The crop damages grains, rice, pastures, and they have what they call forestry plantations down there. And so it's like when it rains, it pours, right? They just can't seem to get a break, I guess is what it comes down to. So with that in mind, all of that is continuing to support the markets. You know, and I don't think, in my personal opinion, Todd, that we're overpriced. You know, we have some people saying, well, aren't we overpriced on corn? I don't think we're overpriced on corn just yet. I think that we've got a ways that we could still go. Everything's going to come down to, I know a lot of people are very concerned about what happens with Russia and Ukraine, but there's so many other things that are going on at the same time. And I'm talking about inflation, weather here, weather in South America, you know, this disease situation. There's just a lot of things to keep track of. And I guess what I would encourage guys to do is, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're happy with where you're at on your old crop sales, you need to be paying attention to what's going on new crop. And just be prepared. I'm not saying you have to jump on board, but consider at some point in time getting yourself some puts in place and letting the market do what it wants to do. and just go from there.
One last thing, cattle on feed figures are due out. What do you think about them?
Well, you know, if you look, these are the expected guesses, okay? On feed as of February 1st, 100.8, that'd be 12.2 million head. Placements in January, 99.2. That'd be 2 million head, and marketings in January, 97.3. That would be 1.8 million head. And, you know, I'm not really surprised by it. You know, when you look at the weather that we've seen in the January timeframe, I wouldn't expect marketings to be much higher than that 97.3. If they do come in better than that, that'll be great.
Hey, Jackie, one other thing producers should do is that they ought to sign up for the Will Ag Farm Doc Spring Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, because we have so much to talk about, and I know you're going to be there. It should be a fantastic day on the 8th day of March. The cost is just $25. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep, I am too. I think it's going to be a great day, and I hope that we get a really good turnout and lots of good questions, because the questions are really what drive everything.
It is one of the things that happens at this event is that audience participation is encouraged throughout the day. So come, have a great Beef House lunch, ask your questions, and we'll try to get them answered. Thank you so much, Jackie, and we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Well, thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. On this Wednesday afternoon, let's take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us. Let's get straight into this. There's an awful lot of weather that is happening in the United States. Part of it in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the U.S. And those two systems that we talked about last week are making their way across the U.S. and in the Midwest as well. What can you tell me and what are you keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned. We may have mentioned this last week, but the wild temperature swings that are occurring out there in the plains, I just don't think that that's going to bode real well for a crop that's already been beat up a little bit this winter. And because I am of the opinion that we will not be seeing good general soakings of rain this spring, that this damage that we may be doing to some of the root systems out there could end up making the situation a little bit more interesting when we get to reproduction, if indeed we do have a period of hot and dry weather. The situations like this, we are seeing wild swings in temperatures and have been doing that for about 3 weeks now. We've gone through three oscillations where temperatures got into the 60s and 70s, even a few lower 80s across the hard red winter wheat country, and only to be followed by temperatures near and below zero in some of those same areas. Now, in the middle of winter, seeing temperatures below zero without snow on the ground isn't always a death sentence, but you start getting into this time of the year on some heat and then bring back the cold, it's not good for a crop that's not well established. And we're causing some interesting heaving conditions in some of the soil. And for some of the plants out there, when you heave the topsoil, you actually can induce root breakage. And if you do that in a dry environment, those crops lose access to whatever subsoil moisture might be available to them. And the more heaving that occurs, the root damage that takes place, the higher the potential is that in a dry environment, the crop will not be able to hang in there as well as it would otherwise. That puts a lot of pressure on the wheat plant to get significant rain, and the sooner the better, since we're getting close to the start of spring season. Unfortunately, I do not expect to see a big turnaround in the situation moisture-wise out across the plains. We will, however, get a few weak systems that will come through and produce a little bit more. And my concern there is that we may stimulate a little bit of crop recovery in the sense that the plants may start utilizing what little rain they get and start trying to set new tillers and repair the roots. But I think the window of opportunity for that is fairly narrow. And when we get into the second half of April and head into the heart of reproduction for some areas, I think we'll be seeing some very warm and dry weather. May turn out to be a real failure. So we'll have to continue to to watch that area a lot more closely than we have in other years. The market mentality is that, you know, we're in a La Nina year, weather patterns are dry during the winter, but when you get to spring, it starts to precipitate a little bit more often. Well, this particular La Nina is going to hang on for a longer period of time. So I don't think we're going to see a big turnaround in the moisture potential for that region. So definitely something we need to watch.
And this same event, La Nina, has had a real impact on crops in South America, particularly in Argentina and Brazil, for some time. Are things changing there at all?
Yes, we are at the end of this most stressful period. And actually, today marks the end of it. As far as I'm concerned, we will see some rain starting to evolve in Argentina today and will continue tomorrow, right in the areas that have been fairly dry. Now, that initial rain won't be all that impressive, but it will at least start to ease the stress. And then as we go forward through the weekend and into next week, we've got a pretty good chance that we'll see follow-up weather systems that will have more impact on Argentina. And that, in addition to the fact that seasonal cooling is right around the corner, should prevent them from getting back in the level of stress that they've been in these late season crops should finish out at least a little bit better. Not saying that they're going to return to, you know, good yields. They're just too beat up. But it will at least stop the decline in crop conditions. And for Brazil, across the line, we've got about seven more days for Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná, as well as central Paraguay, before they get involved with more meaningful rain. They may get a few showers, but they're not going to break away like Argentina is. A little bit of Argentina's moisture will come into Rio Grande do Sul, and that will likely improve the moisture profile there as well. But for the rest of the South American, well, the rest of interior southern Brazil will probably not be seeing a great deal of relief for the 7 days that I mentioned. But after that, there'll be an opportunity for some rain. And some of that safrinha corn that is produced in Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná hurting for moisture right now. And so it won't be long before there's a lot of chatter out there about what's going to happen to that crop. Well, I think the moisture that's coming up in another week will be timely enough to turn that crop back around, and we won't be looking at a long-term problem there. But lots to watch. You were right.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have yourself a good day.
That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. If you haven't yet, visit that website, willag.org, and sign up today. Don't wait, because we're not very far away now from the spring outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $25. At willag.org or by dialing this number, 217-333-7300.